So on top of Netflix at home, since I don't use cable, I have Netflix and Hulu. And one of the series that I often watch on Hulu is called The Prophet. The Prophet. So it's basically a series by Marcus Lemonis. So he goes around to failing businesses and restaurants and like mom and pop shops that are failing, and he would help them to fix or to help overturn the company. And so on season 6, episode 9 of The Prophet, Marcus was sent to two young men who were trying to make it rich in a short time. And these were two bright young men, huh? And they know how to manipulate and create hypes by asking social media influencers to wear their products, especially their socks. And since we're living in a virtual world of Instagram and with pictures now, when important people wear something, all the young people want a pair of the socks or the things that they wear. So they were able to sell a lot of products in a short time. But again, these are only hypes. And after a short while, they stopped. They were unable to sell their products any longer. And they wanted help from Marcus because they didn't have a long-term vision nor mission. And so Marcus tried to help them, but they were only worried about making it rich in a short time. And so when he introduced them to his partners and asked them to work with other people, they didn't care about it. They only want to steal the secret that he had made in order to strike it rich in a short time. So after a while, Marcus just walked away. And he walked away and told them, "I cannot help you because you're too arrogant. You're not willing to work with other people for something that's long term. You only want to make it rich in the short term, and that's why you fail." And I think that is a great lesson for many of us to remember. Oftentimes in our own world too, there are a lot of hypes. There are a lot of ideologies. There are a lot of things that tell us if we do A, B, C, D, E, F, Z, we will strike it rich. God will grant us the favor. But all those hypes, all those trends are short-lived. And we all end up empty. And then, of course, that's how they make version 2 and 3.0 and always upgrade. If those of you who have children in college right now or grandchildren in college, why do they keep printing out textbooks every single year? To make money. So we're creating hypes in order to make money, and nothing is lasting. And if we keep chasing after version 3.0, 4.0, and always chasing after new things, we keep ending up bitter, angry, resentful. And we only know how to manipulate people to get what we want, and oftentimes too, manipulate God to get what we want. But nothing is everlasting. However, today in all three readings, especially the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it talked about the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is contrary to the joy of this world. The joy of the Lord is everlasting. And the joy of the Lord is contagious. Think about it. It was so contagious that in a short time, it brought many conversion toward many people who didn't know him. Because the early Christians' people were joyful. The apostles and their disciples and early believers were joyful even in the midst of persecution. So let us ask ourselves the same question. If we are in the same situation that them 2,000 years ago, will we still be joyful? If we are being persecuted right now, or if we're going through some inconveniences right now, will we still be joyful? Or will we abandon the faith? The joy of the Lord empowers the apostles and their disciples, as well as early Christians, to embrace all hardships and trials for the sake of the gospel. As a matter of fact, it gives them courage and conviction. They were convicted because they knew who Jesus was. And in that conviction, they were courageous to defend their faith and preach the faith. They even said among themselves, and you and I have heard, that it is, and I quote, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." Oftentimes, I myself fall into this trap too, that I often think that God is there to make sure that all of my problems go away. And oftentimes, I often ask God, why do you permit these things to happen and do not let the problems go away? However, that's not what God promised. He promised that He will always be with us, and in loving one another, we help one another to stay the course with prayer, with fasting, by commending ourselves to the Lord in whom we put our trust. My brothers and sisters, I often hear, especially from young people, that Christianity is an outdated and old religion that had it all set, all done for, especially the Catholic Church, just sitting there to protect the antiquated institutions and living in comfort. We have it all set, but it's far from the truth. Our treasures is still our people, especially the poor. Even though we might not see it here, but there are countless missionaries who are working hard day and night. This is not fake news. This is true news. There are countless missionaries who are working hard days and nights to care for the poor, the forgotten, the abandoned, than those ignored by society. As a matter of fact, when we read stories around the world in places that are filled with violence and war, with poverty, when everyone else left, who are still the people who stayed with the indigenous people? Often the Catholic missionaries, the sisters, the brothers, those who chose to dedicate their lives for the gospel. Therefore, even though there are places around the world where Catholics might live in the comfortable institutionalized behaviors, but there are many parts of the world where Christians still are being persecuted, hurt, and choose to live their life in the joy of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, no matter what happened, this one thing I can promise to you, that no matter what happened, the church will always still be at odds in many ways with society. There had and will always continue to be contentions between our divine-given mission and what the world wants us to be. Of course, there will be failures and mistakes made by the leadership and the people who do not care about their vocation. However, the church continued to strive and continue to grow and work wondrous mysteries and work in wondrous ways to preach the gospel in both words and actions around the world. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, if our parish is not growing, if we are not filled with zeal, are we choosing to be intentional disciples? We have to choose to be intentional disciples. I want to take on the cross of Christ. I want to be a disciple of Christ. And to be Catholics isn't always easy, especially to truly believe and live out our faith. We will be made fun of, persecuted, and undergo many trials. As a matter of fact, perhaps you have known it for those who know me on Facebook, but about a few weeks ago, I was walking in my clerics downtown Fort Worth, and we were walking with several priests, and several people called out, "Child rapist, MF. Burn in hell, you this and that." And it made me feel very ashamed. Ashamed of the collar that I wear. Ashamed of the sin of the men that have smeared the name of the church. Ashamed of what we have done to the least of our brothers and sisters. Yet, in all these things, I cannot stop believing. Much more, I had to choose to believe. I remember going home that day and went into the chapel and I cried. And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry that some of your priests have hurt the church. Help me, O Lord, in my own weakness to never fail you and to love you at best as I can." This isn't easy. We'll be persecuted. We'll be laughed at. We'll be made fun. And we'll be blamed for other people's mistakes, of what the church is not doing. And that's perfectly fine. The second reading from the book of Revelation today reminds us that our trials, our suffering are worth it. It reminds us that God will wipe away every tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death and no more mourning, no more wailing or pain at the end of our journey. And I'm looking forward to that. When I see my God face to face, I hope that I can stand before him and say, "Lord, I have tried to love you in all of my imperfections and all of my failures." So therefore, my brothers and sisters, all of us, of course, are looking forward that day. But how about now? Are we looking forward each and every day to embrace our trials and our hardships, our blessings, our challenges, as to witness to the true joy and the true love of Jesus Christ that this world cannot take away from us? Do we truly believe that God will make all things new in his proper time and according to his divine providence? Do we truly believe that we are instrumental in changing this world? Hear what the gospel reading have said. "I give you a new commandment. Love one another." It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Love one another. It's hard. Love the people who laugh at us. Love the people who yell at us. Love the people that we don't like. Love the people that smear our name. Love the people that have hurt us. Love the people that are hard to love. "Love one another," said the Lord. "As I have loved you, so you should love one another." And he wrapped it up by saying what? "This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we can choose to be Christians by name, taking out the Bible in front of television and put our hand on the Bible when we swear and call ourselves Christians like many politicians do. Or we can live as we're called to be, of how we love one another, not using God's name to attack one another for our own self-righteousness, but to love one another even when it hurts. This is not a suggestion, my brothers and sisters. It's the divine commandment. And that is why it is challenging. It's super hard. And it's unnatural because it requires the supernatural grace of God to love one another in very ordinary ways. Love is extraordinary because it requires us to take the extra step to will and to say, I choose to love you just as God has loved me. So today, I wrap up my homily by asking you. I'm not asking you to go out and start wearing the sign say, free hugs, free love. Please don't be shocked. I'm not burying you, okay? But I'm asking you, go home. Nothing outrageous. List the name of three people that are hard to love right now. Three people. No more, no less. Three people that are hard to love right now. And for the next 7 days, pray for those three people. Lord, I choose to love these three through my prayers. I choose to forgive them. And I choose and I ask that you embrace your love around them. Love them as you have loved me, Lord. So therefore, I end my homily by repeating the word of Jesus to you. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, Amen.